Just wanted to very briefly share a few verses with you. I think one of the verses, the first verse that I'll mention is one that I believe I heard first here at camp. And it's one of the passages that is just very short, and there's not really a story around it. It occurs in the book of Chronicles. It talks about the different workers in the kingdom. And it says there about a group of them that they were potters. But they dwelt with the king for his work. They dwelt with the king for his work. And I think that's where we need to begin. As workers here at Pilgrim Camp, we're here, first of all, to meet with Jesus and to dwell, as it were, to live in his presence, moment by moment, day by day. And then from that fellowship that we enjoy with him, that abiding, our work then flows from that union that we have, the enjoyment of his presence, knowing that he's with us, that he's in us. They dwelt with the king for his work. And remember, you're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the second thought was that we're co-laborers together with him. The Apostle Paul uses that phrase. He talks about how Apollos, and you shouldn't say, well, I'm a follower of Apollos or I'm a follower of Paul. He says, we're all just workers together. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. It's God who does the work. And I thought, here I can't. We all have different jobs, if you want to say it that way. We have all different places to fill. And we're here to serve the Lord and to see God's blessing come to the boys and girls in Cottage Village, wherever they may be. But we're here to serve together with the Lord. You see, because it's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's work. And we just work together with him. We have to work with one another, yes. But we have to work together with the Lord. And trust that he will accomplish just what he desires for this time. You know, I said that I believe you're here by God's appointment. Well, I believe all the campers that are coming are by God's appointment. God is bringing them here. And so I cooperate with him. I am a laborer. You are a laborer together with the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be a counselor. That goes for the pot boy and those who do the dishes, those who cook, those who clean. We're all here together working for one goal, that Jesus would come, that Jesus would meet hearts. We're thankful for the guests that come, and we trust that God blesses them. As we heard before, we're here to serve them, make sure they have a good time. But you know what? They pray for you. And so it's just, you know, we're all in this together. That's what I'm trying to say. And we're together in the Lord, working for him. And then the last thing. This verse came to me. Thinking about serving here at camp. Paul in 2 Corinthians, he seems to open his heart to the Corinthians. And he tells them what the ministry, or what his ministry, meant to him. You know, we might think of Paul, the great evangelist and the greatest missionary that ever lived, and what a mighty man of God he was. But in 2 Corinthians, he opens his heart. And he wrote that letter somewhat in defense of his ministry. But he says this, and maybe we should open our Bibles. That's good, right? 2 Corinthians. Now you might say, well, this is for the minister or the missionaries or... Well, I'm believing that all of you, if you're not that already, you will be. And so We all have an opportunity to share the gospel with others. And so we're all missionaries. We're all called to serve him. And he just says this in the second chapter, the 14th verse, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Now that's an interesting way to say it. What do you smell like? Or who do you smell like? Do we bring Jesus? Is there a sweetness about us? You ever walk by someone and you say, wow, they should have maybe just put a drop of that. They smell like a rose garden. But there ought to be something about our lives that Jesus is seen, that Jesus is felt, that Jesus is somehow represented in a sweet way, that people are drawn to him. Now, it goes on to say that we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? It seems that the gospel lived out in a person, the reality of the gospel has an effect. Your life, my life, if we truly are Christians, if we're truly living this Christian life, it will affect others. And we've known people, maybe who receive our testimony, who are open to what we have to say, and there are others who just, they don't want to hear it. It seems that we really can't be neutral, though, with this message of the gospel. To some, it's for life, and to others, it's for death. And we have an opportunity in these days to present that gospel message. I had shared an article, another thing I found in my box of treasures, so to speak. I found an article that was written by Louis Palau, the South American evangelist. And he relates a story how he was saved at a Christian camp. That his counselor made it a point to take each one of his boys individually and speak to them about their soul. And he said, "I thank God that on the last night," he said, "I knew he was coming for me. But he came and he led me to Christ." I know Brother George, I think he's emailed that to all his counselors. Beloved, we have a great responsibility. I think back of the years that I counseled and the many boys that passed through. I don't think I remember them all. But I know that God knows each one of them by name. And he's not willing that any should perish. Who is equal to such a task? The great Apostle Paul, "I'm not able to do this." Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity like men sent from God. And so you're being sent. Counselors, you're being sent. Men, women, sent from God. And he goes on in the third chapter and just a few more verses here. Verse 4. "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent or sufficient in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence, sufficiency comes from God. He has made us able ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Our sufficiency is of God. What did my father say before? Who is your equipment for service? Jesus. And he's prayed that many times. Philip, as you go serve, remember Jesus is your equipment for service. He's all you need. Our sufficiency is not in ourselves, not because we've done this year after year, or because we know how to do Pilgrim Camp. No, our sufficiency is in Him. He's the one that makes us able ministers of this new covenant. It's not of the letter. It's not so much, well, you have to do this, you have to, you know, and these things are good. You have to read your Bible, you have to pray, you have to go to church. Those things are good. But if it's presented like that, it's the letter. You know, it's a do religion. If you do, you live. No. What's the New Testament? Believe. Believe. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we can exemplify that, if we can exemplify the life before our campers, then they will see that there's a God who is real. You know, we prayed for the children. We pray for those who maybe aren't saved, but someone prayed for those who come from Christian homes. Do they need God? You know, the pastor's kids are the worst. You know that? They're good for nothing. That's a story for another day. We all need the Lord, beloved. We all need the Lord. And so, let's be encouraged. Yes? We're in this together. We're co-laborers with Christ. And He is our sufficiency. He makes us able to serve in the Holy Ghost. To live the life that will draw others to Him. The fragrance of Jesus. Lord, make my life attractive. That others would be drawn, not to me, but to you. I'm just reminded of one more, just a little word that I see Sister Esther Sedot here, and I'm reminded of something she said to us. And I hope I get it right because she's here now, so I'm quoting her. But I think it was something like this, that every day she would pray that prayer, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me opportunity to speak for you. Every day, every morning we could pray that, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me opportunity to speak for you. Do you think God would open doors? You know, the girls, some of these young ladies here that are on the waitress staff, they were here during second period. And they came back and one of them gave this testimony that just really blessed my heart. She said that there was something different this year among the girls. That they came with a desire to seek the Lord. That they expressed that. And I thought, Lord, could you do that in every period? That the campers that come, they have a desire to seek God. And that wasn't like after the first week. That was, you know, when they came. God already had put that in their hearts. And so tonight, we're going to pray for the counselors now. But then I think we ought to pray for those that are coming. For the campers. That God would just put that seeking spirit in their hearts. Those that seek, find.